broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studio South. I am in the capital of Illinois. I'm in Springfield. I'm literally in the building, in the basement. Back home in the studio is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for Chicago Tribune. And on the line with us is Representative Robert Martwick, representing the 19th District. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, Patty. How are you?
I'm okay. Interesting mood down here. And what would you say the mood is like in Springfield today?
Oh, You know, I think the mood for me might be a little different than the average representative. But
yes, I saw your beautiful baby, by the way.
Gorgeous. Yes, thank you very much. I got my son down here with me and, you know, trying to break him into involvement with democracy at an early age, right? Get him started young. You know, the mood is... It's hard to get a feeling on it, but there's a sense that, you know, at least from what I get from my colleagues, is that, you know, not much is going to change, really. The sense that it's going to be politics as usual, which is weird. But there is this sort of feeling out stage before these new representatives come in, and you kind of wonder, will anything get done in this lame duck session? Will we get anything done? I really don't know. I can't honestly say.
Well, you don't sound optimistic.
No, I wouldn't say I am. And I think 18 months of going without a budget has probably ruined most of my optimism for getting stuff done down here. Because as I've always said from the very beginning, the problems are simple. The solutions are simple. The decisions are difficult, you know, but it doesn't seem that whether it's the last election or the next one coming up, no one ever seems to have the courage to make the difficult decision. And that's what holds us up.
And Scott and I were talking about this earlier about the, you know, the idea that the budget is out of whack. And people say that a lot. The budget's out of whack. It's like last year it was $4 billion. This year it's obviously probably double. But is it out of whack, or is it money that you have decided, the legislators have decided this is what it takes to run the state? This is everything we want to spend money on, and you put it forward. Is that accurate?
Well, in a sense, I mean, truly a budget is supposed to be, a budget is two parts. It is revenues, it's collecting revenues, and that is going to be whatever you collect, right? So you can make estimates about what that's going to be. And then, of course, you have the spending portion. And ideally, the spending portion lines up with the amount of money that you have coming in. On a good year, maybe you get more revenue than you thought you would, and you actually run a surplus. On a bad year, you run a deficit. But hopefully, over the long run, it balances out. You know, the problem is that we're spending along the lines of when we had a 5% income tax, and we've had for the last 18 months a 3.75% income tax, and it's just not sustainable. You can't do it. So, you know, yeah, the budget's out of whack, But again, these are the sorts of decisions we should be making, because every day that we don't address this, the problems get worse and worse. And in fact, I had a discussion with some colleagues tonight, and you know, had we made the temporary 5% tax permanent, we would be smooth sailing right now. But instead, because we've perpetuated these problems, we've made them so much worse by not addressing it. 5% won't close the hole now. Now it would be 5% with some drastic cuts, or you'd have to go to 5.5% in order to make the budget balance. So by refusing to sit down and sort this out, we have made the problem worse.
And when you say by refusing to sit down and sort it out, who is we? Is it everyone in the legislature? Is it mostly leadership, the governor?
Well, you know, I mean, I think there's blame to go around everywhere, and I think that's pretty clear. Certainly, I think the higher you get up the food chain, the more blame there is, because they're the ones that are actually sitting around the table and negotiating. You know, the governor's refusal to address financial problems until we give him his personal agenda, his turnaround agenda. Well, that's, again, I've said from day one, I thought that was the wrong way to go about it. I think you attend to the finances of the state. I mean, that's what he was brought in to do. He was supposed to be the financial guru. you tend to the finances of the state, you balance the budget, you right the ship, and then you go after your policy reforms. But one shouldn't be held hostage for the other. And I think that was a big mistake on his part. I hope now that we're about to enter into, this next 2-year period, that hopefully he sees that and we can get down and solve those problems.
Scott, did you want to ask anything?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just.
Yes. Please.
This is a 2-way street. I mean, you have a speaker who seems intransigent on his part as well. I mean, not showing up for a meeting, for instance, because he, quote, had other things to do. It seems to me that someone in this equation has to be the grown up, and neither one is going to do that, and that means some humility. It means coming forward. And you mentioned the governor's, his agenda, which he won't step away from. But there's others half of that agenda that Madigan won't step away from. So who is in a position to break this? Because it's hurting you. It's hurting the state.
Yeah. No, and I think there definitely has to be some. You know, I think we all need to work together. And I think there is a sense of that. Like, you know, it's we need to figure things out. What I've said from the beginning, Scott, when it comes to Governor Rauner and the turnaround agenda, was that it's easy to say, well, you guys need to compromise. You give in on something and he gives in on something. And I say, okay, that's great, but we don't have any demands, right? He's the one who's seeking to make dramatic policy changes that would be against the wishes of the people who elected me, if you figure things out politically, right? I mean, that would generally be the case.
Well, you mean like term limits? And
well, term limits is, I mean, that for me, that's just an absolute non-starter, because it's the worst policy initiative ever. And it sounds great. It's raw meat to rabid dogs when it comes to politics. But there is absolutely nothing that works good about term limits, and you can just see that from the states that have instituted it. There is no positive benefit. It creates a more dysfunctional legislature than anything else, because you don't have anyone who has any skills to get anything of any of the complicated legislation done. In Illinois, the average term of people sitting in the House of Representatives right now as we speak is 8 years. 73% of the people in that House have been there less than 12 years, and more than half of the legislature in the House of Representatives has served less than 5. There's no need for term limits. So you can get rid of one guy? I mean, that makes no sense. That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater. But when you get to the
term limits. And by one guy, you mean the Speaker of the House is what people are talking about when they
course.
Say term limits.
Yeah. I mean, and
so
you can accomplish
because
that with leadership term limits if you wanted to address something like that. But I don't throw away rights that citizens have under a democracy because it sounds like a good thing. It doesn't work. In the states where they've used it, you've got ineffective legislators who have no idea how to handle complex legislation. So your complex legislation is passed almost solely by staff and lobbyists who you didn't elect in the first place. There's no good public policy argument for term limits. I don't care.
Yeah, but and yet we have term limits for constitutional officers in the state. We have term limits.
No, we don't.
So a governor can. Am I wrong there? A governor can run.
As he can run as long as he likes.
As long as he stays out of jail.
People decide he shouldn't serve any longer. So, So I mean, that's just me. And again, I think it's a legitimate issue to discuss. But no, I wouldn't give in on term limits. But that's me personally. There's nothing Governor Rauner could do to say, Rob, this is a good idea. You need to go with this. No, I'm absolutely adamantly opposed to it. In a democracy, I should be able to vote my conscience, right? And that's my point, is that these policy initiatives should be taken separately from the issue of balancing the budget and attending to the financial conditions.
Well, I have I know I'm kind of leaving the reservation a bit here, but I would agree. I think right now we have a financial crisis of biblical proportions that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
You and I are going to disagree on term limits. That's fine. You're not going to disagree on remap. That's fine. But the
no,
budget.
I wouldn't agree with you. I wouldn't disagree with you on remap.
Really?
I'm
okay.
Okay.
I've just been wrong here, which is fine.
You two need to meet each other. I think that'd be an excellent
I do believe in nonpartisan mapping. I think it's time.
Oh, good for you. It's worked in some other parts of the country that where
it has.
You sound like you want to give him applause. Good for you.
No, because listen. I mean, you know, and every time this comes up and every time it appears that the REMAP people have the signatures, the speaker drags them into court and gets them shot down. And it's too bad. But I do agree with you that, you know, the rest of the turnaround agenda has to be put aside. And I mean, this is when grownups have to step forward and say, we got to take care of this. We've got to, you know, what's the pension obligation now? I mean, that has to balloon to a number I can't even imagine.
It's whatever it is. It's
big, it's, very big.
Yeah, obnoxiously big. And again, you know, the thing is the good news is we're actually making the pension payments on time, which is great. But instead, what we're doing is, in order to make the pension payments on time, we're shorting all of our vendors. Our vendors, who we pay 1% per month on late bills. It's absolutely asinine. It is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I want to get in line to buy some of that debt up. Give me 12% per year, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got, you know, it makes no sense for us to keep digging. You know, what do they say? When you're in a hole, what's the first thing you do? Stop digging. You know, let's balance this budget. Let's make the cuts. Let's raise the revenue. Let's attend to this in a fiscally responsible way so that the ship is righted. And then let's have that policy debate. I've told the governor both privately and publicly, I'll have that debate with you. I think we should have that debate. But the idea that you hold up the finances in order to achieve that is not, it's not the way it's supposed to be done. And you know, like I said, I agree with you. Everyone's got to come to the table. Everyone's got to work. But the thing that I like to just put in perspective is that the big changes that are being demanded are being demanded by the governor. The Democrats were like, well, we offered. We'll make cuts. We'll raise revenues. We'll work with you on that sort of stuff. We don't have any personal agenda. We didn't say we'll do it only if you make sure that we put in a law that says there can never be term limits in the state of Illinois. We don't have like that. We're not trying to, you know, embolden our side. We're just saying let's fix the finances and then we'll debate your agenda.
Representative Martwick, I want to thank you so much. And we need to check in with you again next week. I know that we've got a busy week this, you know, we got another session tomorrow. And perhaps next week we can do another conversation with Scott, if you'll join us. Because I think Scott's got a lot of great questions. Maybe we can all get together in studio. Wonderful. Have a great night.
Thanks, and again, Betty. We've talked.
Thank you, Representative.
Representative Robert Martwick from the 19th.